those. There was a dead squirrel in the backyard of the rental. I was like, oh, look at that. And Tracy got double gloved and a garbage bag and picked that dead flat squirrel up. And I said, girl, there is a half bottle of champagne in my fridge and we are going to open that right now for you. You are a hero.
Look, did you see me like desperately get in the recorder? I'm like, oh, this is gold.
Squirrels. I mean, I really think that every person I know in my life is like, as Tracy does not get rid of the squirrels, I've got to stop hearing about it. I mean, and these are things that are like Brent jobs.
Right.
I also Somebody feel like when I came here, because I was like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I'm probably going to cry, whatever. I don't apologize for crying. But I also feel like, did you ever see that movie Midsommar?
No, Midsommar? I didn't see it.
Yes.
I didn't, but I know the plot. Basically.
Okay.
I'm not
There's a scene where like she's really upset and she's crying and she's like, ah, but then all of the women in the cult come to her and they all start going, and they're mimicking her. And I was like, maybe we should just do that before we start the podcast and get it over with. And then I'll be fine. It's breaking through the crying threshold. That's the hard part. Like, just then like, then I'm okay.
Yeah. So this is when it starts to build. I'm immediately like, can this just go ahead and get out so we can move on with what I'm trying to say?
I know.
I cried on the way home, sort of thinking about like, you know, the trajectory of the conversation potentially. And then also just like anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not about that.
Hovering.
Just life.
Just I know. I feel the same. My therapist, like, it's the only place where, like, the first time I met her, I started crying. And I was like, I'm sorry. And she's like, crying
literally
is energy.
Is what I'm here for.
Yeah. She's like, crying is energy leaving your body. Yes. It's what doesn't belong in there and has to come out. I told Stella about the crying is energy leaving your body so much when Brent was dying that like at one point I started to cry and I was like, and she's like, oh, you're crying. I was like, well, that's okay. Crying. She goes, I know crying is energy leaving your body.
Yeah. Like, no, mom, stop saying it.
I mean, I didn't know what a coping skill was when I was 9.
No,
but they do. They do.
We have it on the fridge.
It's very like hard that. For me not to cry when I get really angry.
Me too.
Because I can tell this is the only way that this energy
rage
is going to get out.
Yeah.
Actually, yesterday Eric said that I looked angry and I was like, why do you think that I'm angry when I'm crying? Or it's like, it's weird that you think that I'm angry when I'm crying, but that is true.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I guess.
Yeah. I'm crying because I'm just trying not to murder you.
Right. I don't know what else to do with
it. I don't know what else to do with that. Yeah.
Some disclaimers. Joy makes me turn off the air conditioning, so.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You might have to take that fancy green jacket.
I know. I'll be.
Like to see that.
Yeah.
That's such a pretty color.
Thank you.
I know.
And I think that just part of the show now is that I eat at the beginning. So.
Yeah.
Whenever, I'm always like,
snack.
Sarah's scarf snacking. Well, I feel not as prepared as I would like to.
I feel not prepared, but I feel like I'm just like, just let go and we'll just talk about whatever.
Well,
I'm an open book.
I want you to know that we obviously haven't seen each other in a long time. We've never been close enough where we keep in constant communication or anything, but
we have so many mutual friends.
We do. But I'm just so, we are so honored and so grateful that you, anytime anybody considers this a safe space or a space, just, it's exactly what we want and what we want to provide. And it's only been a year.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're coming on and talking about this so soon and that it's with us is just, I'm saying that because I'm annoyed that I'm hungover and I wanted to give you a better version of myself.
No, they're the best. I have a funny story about how we met too. I'm not, do you know how we met? We lived on the same block and Ava was like 3, maybe 2 or 3. And you found out from my friend Steph, or all of our friends, Steph, that I just had a baby and you texted me and you're like, oh my gosh, I live on your block. You're a new mom. Like whatever you need, I can come and help you, whatever. And I have this horrible habit, which is not unique, of like white knuckling through a situation, like, I got it.
Oh yeah,
totally mm-hmm. under control. And I'd be like, oh that's you. So that's sweet, so nice. Thank you, strange lady who lives on my block. I've got this. And I mean, my first child did not sleep. Like she would take like maybe tiny naps, uh-huh. but up all night. I was a absolute maniac. And we met each other for the first time like a couple months later when you're kind of out of the fog and there was some event at City House and we met and you're like, oh my God, I'm Joy. I live in your street. And, you know, how was everything? And I went, oh God, it was horrible. And you were like, why didn't you say anything? I was there to help. And I was like, I thought I could handle it. And I didn't even know that it was bad until I was like
right.
out of it.
Yeah, you don't know when you're in it.
And
I look back
and I'm like, this was horrible. No one slept. Yeah. I know.
That's so funny.
And then we saw each other all the time.
Well, my biggest, which is like part of your, you know, like I'll say this and then read your intro, but our guest Tracy today is a wine rep. And we had no money when we lived on that street. We had roommates in that house with our 3-year-old. And I was just like, nickel and diming, trying to, I don't know, like go get little treats for myself when I could. And there would just be really shitty days. And I would come home and there would be like a half bottle of wine sitting on my porch because she'd used it for a sampling or something. And so I've just like, I never knew when I was going to get a little treat, but those days that I came home and you helped me get through,
well,
through that phase of motherhood with those little treats. It meant so much to me.
Yeah. I kind of know how, what everyone drinks on my block. Like, you know, this couple likes white and this couple likes red and, you know, this neighbor will drink anything. and so, yeah, I mean, you learn really quickly in the wine business, like you cannot consume all of your samples at the end of the day. Like you're going to end up with like 10 too bottles much. And I hate wasting it. Yeah. So just sort of send it out into the wine universe, fairy. A wine fairy. Yeah. And then my hope is that you'll like it and right. then be like, oh gosh, I'm going to buy some, whatever. Mm. But yeah, everybody loves it.
Well, Momcult listeners, our guest today is the fabulous Tracy Hilton. She is a native South Georgian who settled in Nashville for the past 16 years after living in Alabama for college. Roll Tide. And the coast of North Carolina for 3 years, Florida, just for a second. We don't need to talk about that. She has been in the wine business for over 16 years, and her love language is telling people what to drink. She's been an East Nashvillian about as long as she's lived in Nashville, raising her 2 girls, Stella and Vivian. She is a Gemini through and through, a lover of art history, which was her major in college. She is most likely perimenopausal and a former beauty queen who grew up on a cattle ranch and is now a vegan, and she wants to know if that's okay.
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, yeah. When I read that cattle ranch, I was like, oh my gosh, her and Sarah are going to have so much to talk about.
You know, okay, well, now you know that I read the first half of it, and then I was like moving on to the next thing.
But before you move on, please welcome Tracy Hilton.
Thank you.
I'm very, very excited. I was already really excited. My minor's art history.
What?
I wasn't a beauty queen per se, but I did place in several of them.
Mm-hmm. Several.
And I grew up on a cow ranch, but I'm not a vegan.
Whoa.
What kind of cow ranch? Beef?
Beef.
Us too.
Yes.
And wait.
I know.
Take it in.
Take it all
Georgia
in.
Cattle?
Georgia cattle. Yeah, my... this is probably too much information.
It's but not.
My grandfather was born and raised in a really small town called Boston, Georgia, which is right outside of Thomasville. So I tell people I'm from Thomasville, but I'm really from Boston, Georgia.
Okay.
When he was younger, this is during the Depression, he moved down at a really young age to Miami, Florida, when Miami was nothing really but a cow town. He ended up, as an adult, starting a really large plumbing supply business. And when he was successful and grown and his children were grown, he wanted to buy some property back in Georgia. And he started off strictly as Simmental cattle, which is a European-style cows. And then after he passed away, my dad was already, you know, managing the property and everything. He was like a born a city boy, but secretly in his heart, he was a cowboy, or a cattleman. And
You know.
I mean, I see like these videos of him on like 8mm film, like when they visit his uncle who had a cattle ranch, and like his brother and sister just sort of riding the horse, and he's just like, yeah, like just riding, you know. And that's just, I mean, that's all I've known from him. But yeah, we raise beef cattle, and it was at one time about 1,000 acres, and it shifted and changes. He's retired now, but yeah, I mean, it was a great childhood, I think, as far as like living out in the open, you know. It was, yeah.
Do you ever feel the pull of like, oh, I wish my kids had more of that, or I'll imagine a life I could have, or things that maybe they're missing out on, even if I didn't experience them, and just feel like
It's not that I wish that for them. I kind of think, oh, they're never going to experience the childhood that I experienced. I mean, some of that I'm like, great. but I don't know. I mean, I like living in a city. I like that they have so many opportunities. And you know, when you live out in the country, you live in a bubble where everyone is the same, and you don't experience how other people live or empathize with how other people live. And I didn't really discover that until I went out to the world and lived in a city and met other people. And so, but I enjoyed it. Well, I'm a worked cattle. We also baled hay. So I raked hay and tethered hay and mowed hay. I did everything but bale it. So
I don't bale.
The baler would break all the time, and my dad would like get super mad. So I'm like,
I'm not touching that.
I'm not doing that. You can do that. And so if it was a sunny day in South Georgia, I would seriously like rake all the hay as fast as I could, and then be like, I'm done. Bye. And then leave him to the slow process of baling the hay.
I mean, I have a lot of questions, but I don't want to. I mean, I could just talk about that for a long time.
Welcome to our podcast on cattle ranching. Well, I like growing up.
I like was didn't like it, or I felt, I don't know if I didn't like it. I just wasn't. I wasn't like enamored with it when I was little, and now I miss it.
Yeah.
Not just the, I don't know, just being outside. And this is a whole can of worms.
I hunted a lot too. I did dove hunting a lot with my dad, and that led to me doing like sporting clays just as a hobby in college. And I think back, like, my life is too busy now, but I'm like, you know, when my kids are grown or whatever, I'd really like to pick it back up again. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is that you never get invited. Like, as a female, the first thing they think of is, oh, she'd really like to go dove hunting. I enjoy it.
We've been talking about going in South Georgia on a trip with my dad, but anyway, we should just do sporting clays.
Let's just start our own.
We're in
Start our own female sporting
plays.
We are. I feel like that probably exists.
It probably does.
But we're starting. Well, this is a different thing. Maybe none of us had time, but like we're going to do that. That's
happening. I mean, that's how I became a better shot. Is I met a woman at one of the sporting clays facilities, and she was like, "Women hold the gun and stand differently than men. We're proportioned differently." And I started shooting so much better once she sort of gave me some tips and tricks. Did not see us going this direction to sporting clay.
I know, just to start out. Yeah. What an opener.
Right.
If you're still listening.
If you're still listening.
This is gold.
I love it. I feel anxious about time, which I hate, but I want to make sure.
No, go ahead. Get into
that
it.
We get to you. And what was not in Tracy's bio is that you lost your husband almost exactly a year ago.
Yep.
And we decided that we'll start there however you want to kind of unfold that story, and then we'll see what we have time for.
Yeah. So, like, just broad strokes, 2020, great year. The year for everyone's journey to start.
What else can we pile on to 2020?
Yeah, the vortex opened. And so like that summer, people always ask me, like, how did you know? Like, what kind of symptoms did you see? I think they're probably asking for their own selves. Yeah. But on my birthday, which is May 31st, we're at my in-laws, and he went down the slide, and I was like, oh, he really landed on his ear hard. And like a couple days later, he had sort of symptoms like an ear infection. You know how adults get like vertigo and all this stuff. And it's just really odd. But he has a friend who's an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and he prescribed him some antibiotics and some steroids and whatever. But that kind of started this couple months of like, the steroids would make everything better, and then, but then he would get off of them, and then all of a sudden he'd have this like fatigue. And
was he in pain?
No pain. Okay. No headaches. No nothing.
Just feeling.
Just
off.
Feeling off and like irritability. Like we went to the beach in July, and his best friend Hillary was with us, and we're like, Jesus, like why is he in such a bad mood? Or one time he was like, I just needed to go drive around and like get away, and that is so not right. Brent. So not him. And so by the end, by August, his friend who's a physician said, man, I can't figure out what's wrong with you. You need to get an MRI. And so he got an MRI and I got home from work and he was like, they saw something on the scan. And I like the naivete that I had then was just, it's just so wonderful.
Right.
So I'm like, it's okay. Fine. Whatever it is fine.
Go in,
right.
Take it out.
Nothing's going to, yeah. But his friend saw the scan. And immediately called the head of neurosurgery at Vanderbilt. And the head of neurosurgery called Brent within an hour and was like, hey, I want you to come in tomorrow at 11. And this is where it got me. He said, bring someone with you. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, now I kind of see bring someone with you because you're going to have a lot of information you have to write down. Mm-hmm, but I just like the switch was flipped. He had, that was a Thursday. We went into the doctor on Friday. On Monday, we went into work because we worked together and said, something's in Brent's head. We have to get it out. We joked around. It's probably a Snickers bar. You know, Tuesday, went in, had surgery. I was in the waiting room and our doctor friend, Paul, he was like hanging around with me and I kept going like, I look back, I'm like, you were so dumb. You had no one, but it was COVID, right? Yeah, so no one's going to sit with you anyway.
Right.
Paul sat with me and I remember there's like a chapel area and there's some couches, like some white couches. And I was like, ugh, those are the bad couches. Mm-hmm. I am not sitting on those couches, whatever I do. And the surgery, you know, happened and they called me and the lady was like, you know, doctor will be down in 3 minutes. And she's like, you can have a seat on the couch. I was like, no, thanks. I'm all right.
I'm good over here.
Yeah, I'm fine. Paralyzed, knee buckling, but I'm fine. I'm not going to those couches. And then the doctor came down and he's like, Tracy, let's have a seat. And I was like, crap. So I called Paul over because I was like, whatever he's about to say to me, I'm not, it's just going to go right past me.
Yep. Yeah.
And so they don't know how to diagnose a brain tumor immediately. They just call it an astrocytoma, a cancerous tumor. So he said, you know, this is what we found. They're going to biopsy it and tell you what it is. I mean, it was a grade 4 glioblastoma. They got it out of the right temporal lobe and the basal ganglia. There were two areas in those spots where they couldn't reach. It was too dangerous. They basically just, it's kind of a goopy tumor. So they go and they get what they can, but some parts are just too dangerous. Mm-hmm. And he spent a couple days in neuro ICU. I think that day was honestly like the worst day of my life because Brent's on drugs and he just doesn't have any sort of awareness of like, you don't wake up and go, what was it? What was the diagnosis?
Right. He just, what I miss?
Yeah. What, right.
Catch me up, guys.
Catch me up. And I'm over here in like absolute agony, you know, calling my cousin, calling my best friend. It's like, what do I do? Calling his mom. And his mom was a nurse. So I think she kind of knew like,
this isn't good.
This is not good. Right. But she was with my children. Like your important job, my mom and his mom were with the girls. And there, I look back and it just seems like sort of divine this way of him. Like he just never said, like we never talked about, you know, this is a, you don't get out of this alive kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't know if it was the amazing amount of steroids he was on or the pain meds or whatever, but he always just had this like sunny disposition about it. Like always like, this isn't going to, even later, like this isn't going to kill me kind of thing. Right. But he had, you know, we neuro ICU and everything. I mean, I feel like I was in the hospital longer for my C-section than
I was going to say. It all seems like
they had
super
him up fast. And the surgery went on the side of his head, but the protocol hasn't changed for a glioblastoma ever because there is no cure. So basically what they do is they say, after you recover from the surgery, you do 30 days of radiation. The only time you're off is like Saturday and Sunday in tandem with the chemo pill, which really doesn't have a lot of side effects to it. Yes, you're tired, but you're not going to have like hair loss or nausea or anything mm-hmm. like that. And we did that. This was like a lesson that I learned in those like 30 days. And especially in like these little increments that Brent had for treatment is like, everything is a season. Like this won't be forever. Like these 30 days, although they are taking absolutely forever, like this moment is not going to last mm-hmm. forever. Like you're going to move on to something else. Right before he had his radiation treatment, we had a couple, Daniel and Jocelyn, and they wanted to come and see Brent before, you know, radiation is going to knock your immune system out. We're not going to have visitors, whatever. So they come and we're just hanging out on the porch like good COVID people. Mm-hmm. And while she's there, my neighbor, Narissa, comes over and is like, hey, I just wanted to give you my boss's business card. She's a macrobiotic chef, but I think she's like a food healer if you want to, you know, look her up. And I mean, at that point, everyone's coming at you with all sorts of right. things. So I'm just like, thanks.
Put it in a pile.
Put it in the pile, right. Yeah. Well, when she leaves, Jocelyn is like, what's the name on the card? And I said, Virginia Harper. And she said, that was my next door neighbor in Nashville growing up my whole life until she was 18, her next door neighbor.
Whoa.
She goes, she's the real deal. And I was like, oh.
Take this off the pile.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. And then like 4 or 5 days later, one of our coworkers called Brent and was like, I really want you to meet my mother-in-law. She's a macrobiotic chef and she's really useful for this kind of thing. Her name's Virginia Harper. And we're like,
wow.
Okay. I don't
know. We get it.
Right. Like, you know, Oprah's like, it starts as a whisper and then it's like a 2x4 over your head. Yeah. So that kind of started our journey on nutrition too. I dove in with both feet. Macrobiotics is basically, it's a lot of different things, but it's eating for the season. Every organ is supported in different ways during the different cycles of the year, and eating certain things that are in season, it sort of makes sense. But also it's a lot of Eastern type of nutrition too. And also no processed foods, no nightshades. It's also, the goal is to keep your body alkaline as possible because cancer has a hard time living in an alkaline environment. And I really think that contributed. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I only go on what I saw in my experiences mm-hmm. with Brent. But most people that I meet who have had a glioblastoma from their diagnosis, it's like one neurological nightmare after the next. You know, there's
like
all sorts
just start
of
falling
things,
off.
Paralysis. Yeah. I mean, your brain is, you know, controls it all. And it was not true for Brent. He lived for almost 3 years, was like 31, 32 months. And most of that, two big solid years, I would count like the beginning and the very end as sort of the bookends of him not being healthy. But in the middle, I mean, he never looked better. He never felt better. His GP was like, man, from the neck down, I mean, you are prime health. His blood work was always perfect. He used to get really aggravated because after the 30 days of radiation and chemo, then you do 6 months of chemo pill for just 5 days and that's it. But I just could never see the point of like going off and living your life the same you did before and just for 5 days a month doing this chemo pill, like it's going to do anything.
Right.
It helped me also like really hyper focus on like, give me a job. I can do this. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that went into Brent's body. I mean, I learned, it was really frustrating to learn at first. Every pot was dirty, you know, lots of restrictions. Family members are like, what? This is so foreign. I don't know if we can do this. I'm like, that's okay. It's just Brent and I are going to do this together. Mm-hmm. And I did it with him because what am I going to do? Sit over in the corner and eat a New York strip while he's, you know, eating everything that's like cooked in seaweed. Like, not fair. So I went right in with him. And I think, you know, they check your blood work every time you start chemo. And he used to get so aggravated. He's like, they never say anything in the appointment about my blood work. I'm like, because it's perfect. If it was bad, they would say something. Mm-hmm. But they don't understand that when we're at home, everything that goes into your body is with total intention to heal, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if he had had any other cancer, you know, he'd be here, but this right. is the worst one. But he just looked and felt so good. And that kept him for this chunk of 2 years to like be a dad, right? Mm-hmm. And be like, well, we're going to cry and break their
get it out.
Right. Vivian was only three. She'll probably never have any real memories of Brent, but it gave her time and it gave Stella time too. Stella was five, right? And she was nine. So, or eight, but it gave him a little bit more time, right? So, yeah. Yeah. So my like helpful hint when you cry every day is to not put mascara on your bottom lashes.
Exactly.
That's my helpful tip for grief is like, if I don't put mascara on my bottom lashes, then the mascara won't go down.
Like nothing happens.
Right. Because when you're working full time and you're in between accounts and you're listening to sad music and crying, you'll be ready to go inside and look like nothing's wrong
it's in my nice green spring coat.
Yeah, nothing's
fine.
Wrong, right? Everything's fine. I'm fine. Yeah. So anyway, we did a lot. I mean, and we didn't do like, you know, bucket list, whatever. We were just a family, right? Yeah. We just enjoyed each other. We did go to France because he turned 50. We were married for 10 years. And we were like, what are we going to do? Like, let's do something big. And both of us being in the wine business had not been to Champagne yet. So we went. We had an amazing time, except when we got COVID in France. Yeah, that was
worth it.
I wore a mask for like 2 weeks before we went. I was like, no one is going to stop me from going on this trip. And I got on that plane and just ripped that mask off. And I'm pretty sure I probably got it like
immediately
on the train ride from the airport into Paris. Right. Like, and I was like, oh, my allergies are really bothering me. Ooh, musty cellars. And then we had a test and I was like, it's COVID.
Were the symptoms mild enough where you guys got to like have a fun vacation?
Well, I felt kind of bad the whole time, but I just like was just in denial and powered through. And then I gave it, I obviously gave it to Brent because his symptoms came later. But when we tested, literally like 2 hours after we tested positive, because it was like the day before we were leaving, the news came out that the U.S. government was going to lift their policy on having to present a negative COVID test to get back into the States. I mean, we were on the train and Brent just busted out laughing. And I was like, what in the world are you laughing at right now? Like, I was in misery. And he's like, read this. I'm like, oh my God. And so it started on Sunday. So we just pushed our flight back to Sunday instead of Saturday. And we put our N95s on and we got on like one of the first flights back from Charles de Gaulle. And we got on that plane and I looked at Brent and I said, listen to this plane right now. It was like coughing, sneezing, hacking. I was like, we are on the COVID flight.
This is the COVID flight.
Back to America. Like the death ship coming back, right? And we were in the baggage claim in Nashville. He was like leaned up on like on a pole. We're waiting on her and he didn't even look behind him. This is just so Brent. And he goes, look behind me. Emmylou Harris is behind me. Like he just heard her voice and he knew. And I looked at him and I said,
you get the hell away from her. She's a national treasure. We're not giving Emmy Lou Harris COVID. Yeah.
Anyway, so we had this big chunk of time, which I'm lucky. I mean, I'm lucky that we got that time together. Like, you know, you're never the same. Mm-hmm. I don't look at scans the same. I don't go into a mammogram the same. I mm-hmm. gotta like get to my breathing exercises, right? Mm-hmm. But it came, like we shrunk the tumors down even. They were significantly smaller. And I just think with this kind of cancer, it will find, if you take away whatever food it wants, it's going to find another way to feed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it started coming back in November of 22, and things happened pretty quickly. It's similar, in my experience, it's similar to having a family member with dementia or Alzheimer's. There's something very strange about your brain. I think it never really allowed Brent to know that this was it, or if he did, he never said it. Mm-hmm. It's this horrible thing where, like my therapist said, you know, the tumor is going to take over the person, right? Like the Brent goes away, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and now you're caring for someone who, it's their shell, right? It's just them, and you know, you're commitment is to like see them through until the end. But there's this crazy gray area that I just like, you're not prepared for that. It's like in between life and death, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you start to have to speak for them, like how we tried a different type of immunotherapy. It didn't work. But you have to go to a point where, okay, what would Brent say? Like, I think Brent would say, do this, see if it works. If it doesn't, we gotta, you know, let go. Mm-hmm. Right. So we did that. He wanted to stay at home. When we did his will, he said, if at all possible, he wanted to be at home. The way that we kept him at home 100% is because of my mother-in-law. Deborah is a retired ICU nurse, so she just moved in with us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, she looked after him. There were all these crazy symptoms that would happen with him. He had this insatiable hunger that would never go away. I think it was this multiple levels of, yes, he was on steroids, but it was unlike anything I'd ever seen. I think a lot of it was forgetting that he ate, or there was maybe a brain connection between his stomach and mm-hmm. his brain that it wasn't telling him he mm-hmm. was full. And if he was awake, if his eyes were open, he was asking for food, which ironically, I mean, Brent loves food. Like the man enjoyed eating and the finer things in life and making food and creating food. But I mean, he absolutely ran me ragged.
Yeah. On top of like two kids.
I get annoyed when my kid asks
for like, a snack.
And, so. Right. And the noise, we had to keep the noise level down. I was like, after Brent goes, if I never shush my kids again, it will be way too soon, because just keeping it quiet mm-hmm. for Brent is so hard mm-hmm. when you have two very vibrant kids. But we took care of him. We kept him mobile until 1 week before he passed away, which I think is just like the biggest accomplishment wow. because mm-hmm. there's a difference in taking care of someone who is mobile and we can walk him to the bathroom and walk him to bed. And it's very different when they're bedbound, right? Mm-hmm. But we only had him bedbound for a week. We called in hospice. They had a scan. I waited until it's tricky with insurance. You want them to pay for the MRI. And if you're in hospice, sometimes it's like, oh, well, we won't, because that could be deemed preventative. So we had the MRI. We met with the neuro-oncologist. It was the first time in that 3 years where I actually asked, like, how long does he have to live? I never asked before. I read this book, Dr. Robert Weil. He's a MD, but he also does, like, a lot of holistic stuff. And he's like, whether it's a shaman from 1,000 years ago or a doctor now, putting a timeline on how long you have to live is almost like a curse, right? Mm-hmm. So I never asked, how long do you think? And mm-hmm. he exceeded, because the answer would have been right. probably 18 months, right? And he lived much longer than that. So it was the only time I said, okay, I need to know. Like, and he said, it's probably going to be a few weeks. And it was. I mean, that was the end of March. And he died in April. So my mother-in-law was instrumental in keeping him safe and keeping him comfortable. And Alive Hospice was incredible. I mean, like, if you need something, you get it right away. I've got a hospital bed within a couple of hours. And when I know we should probably talk about the girls, like, you know, what I said to them, mm-hmm. it's kind of a tricky situation. In the beginning, you know, we talked about them, him having cancer, but Vivian was too little to understand. Stella understood, but he was thriving. Right. So there wasn't
she's not seeing the consequences of what you're talking
right.
about.
Right. Yeah. There's no need to say eventually he's going to die. There was a great book that really validated the things that I was already doing. And I think it's called something like How to Talk to Your Children About a Parent with a Serious Illness. It's very, very upfront. Like, okay. This is a book about people dying. And it kind of validated what I was already doing, which is you should always tell your children the truth. You just don't have to tell them the entire truth mm-hmm. all at once. You can feed them information as it goes along. So when he got sick, I think it was about February, I kind of kicked the can a little bit, but February, I was really afraid that like he was going to have a stroke or all of a sudden like the rug was going to get ripped out from under me, which was not the case, but that was, you know, you just never yeah. know. So I talked to them and I said, talked to them both. Vivian was kind of like, meh, you know, mm-hmm. I'm 4, whatever, or 5.
Let me play with my toys.
Yeah. She was, 5 at the time. But Stella could understand. And so I said, listen, you know, we want to talk about what's going on with Dad. Dad has cancer and the cancer is in his brain. Your brain is like your computer. So all of these things that are happening to Dad, like he's having trouble walking around or he's forgetting things or he's not talking as much or he doesn't seem the same, that's all coming from your computer. And I said, but the type of tumor he has is called a glioblastoma. And I said, and everyone that has a glioblastoma will die from it. And Stella was like, die? And I said, yes. I said, no, it's not going to happen right away. It's not going to happen in, it's not going to be, you know, even weeks or days, but it will happen eventually. And I want you to know, I said, and this isn't a conversation we're only going to have one time. Like we can talk about it a lot. Like any questions you have, let's talk about it, you know? And she got sad and she took my phone. She started looking at pictures of like before. And so I could see her kind of processing it. And like the next day, kids, she was like, I have a question about what we talked about last night. And I said, okay. She's like, will you get married again? And I was like,
I knew that's what she was going to ask.
Yeah. I did not. And I said, well, Stella, that is a hard question to answer because, you know, Daddy is alive and I'm married to him. So my heart, I'm committed to Dad.
I'm still on this one.
Yeah. Now. I said, so I can't really answer that question because I love Daddy and he's still alive. Because I kept going, why is she asking me this question? And then it became very clear because she put her hands in the air, like talking about the whole house. And she goes, because all of this is just really hard for one person. And I was like, oh, wow. She basically needs me to like have a valet or a butler or not a husband, but like I need an assistant. And she's right because it's hard doing it. Right. It's very sweet. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. But as things got closer, and you know, like he would forget names. He would like, I would say to him, do you remember what our girls' names are? And he'd like shake his head, no.
Or sometimes I go, do you know what my name is? And he would kind of look at me sheepishly and he'd go, no, I'm really sorry I don't. But Tracy and I were just talking about you the other day. And I'm like, okay, so I exist in the abstract. He never really forgot his mom. Like if I would say to him, the kitchen is closed, we can't eat any more food, like you're going to hurt yourself, mm-hmm. you know? And his mom was over there and he'd point over to his mom and look at me. He goes, you know, that's my mom, right? And I'd go, yeah, I know that's your mom. And your mom and I are on the same team and she's not going to give you food either. Right. And let me preface by saying Brent was one of the best people I've ever met. He was just like a connector of people. He was so vibrant. He was so likable. He had so many friends. And the thing, it didn't even occur to me until his visitation before his funeral service. It was from 4 to 8. And I stood there at 4 o'clock and I didn't greet the last person until 9 o'clock. It was hundreds of people, hundreds. And people were like, are you so tired? Oh my God, are you so exhausted? I'm like, no, I am energized by the amount of people that are here that just want to talk about Brent and show their love for Brent. And I just didn't realize until then, like if you were friends with Brent when you were 5 years old, you were friends with him when he was 50. I mean, he kept up. I still have his phone on for sentimental and utility reasons, mm-hmm. right? But he'd have these little reminders in his calendar of like every month or every 3 months or every 6 months or every year to call certain people to remind him to like keep check up in. And check in with people. I just don't know anybody who does that. Yeah. And he didn't get married until he was 40. You know, he didn't have kids. Like that decade was the big one for him. Mm-hmm. And he like, he, I think his whole life he wanted to be married and have kids. And he never got married before. He never got engaged before until we met. And it's like we were just getting to like the good part, right? Not the baby. God, I feel like I'm in a war part, right?
The survival.
Right. Just years. Getting to the good part, right? Which is, just feels like the most unfair, right? Yeah.
How did y'all meet?
We met at work. Oh my God. We met at work. And for the first year, he absolutely got on my nerves. We argued all the time. And people thought we were dating. Like, they'd be like, new people would come in and go,
just because how y'all bickered.
Because of the way we argued. Oh, how long have these two been together? They're like, they're not. They're just like that. And then we started hanging out. Like, I moved to East Nashville, and he lived in East Nashville. He's like old school. Like, he bought a house in like 01, mm-hmm. you know. And I just kept going, he's so cool outside of work. Why does he gotta be such an asshole? Why is he
such a little bitch at work?
Yes. And it just sort of happened, you know, and we were a secret for almost a year.
Was that fun?
It was not fun.
Not fun?
It was not fun, okay. Because stressful. You get to like a breaking point where you're like, we're in a relationship. I want to be out with you. Yeah. I think the only people that knew we were together were the bartenders at Three Crow, because like Brent would show up and start a tab, and then I would show up 10 minutes later and start a tab, and then Brent would close out his tab, and then 10 minutes later I would close out That's my tab. So and they were like, duh.
What are y'all doing?
God, we started a tab together. But we finally, yeah. I mean, people, by the time we came clean, a lot of people were kind of suspect,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we met at work, and I love that we had this real mutual love of wine, love of travel, love of food. He had so many friends that are chefs, and I think it's just because he had this creative mind where he wanted to like
crawl in their head and find out like what they're excited
about. Makes them tick.
What, yeah. And, they're just, yeah, we met at work and it worked out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What, I wish people could just see it. See us sitting
soggy.
Here.
To take a picture.
Yeah. It's like, we got to take a really horrible picture after.
I know the picture that I sent you is like the picture of me in 2018 in Spain. I was trying to find other pictures. I'm like, oh, I only take pictures of myself where I look relaxed when I'm in a foreign right. country
Which
away
never
from children.
Happens.
Well,
and it never happens.
Travel things.
Yeah.
Getting at the car wash. Honk, beep, beep, look at the car wash. Yeah. Did you know that Sarah and I both work at a car wash? Isn't that exciting? And also so odd. And it's called Camel Express Car Wash.
And our top wash will now include this thing that's called graphene. And these are real facts, okay, about graphene that I know just an inordinate amount about. It won a Nobel Prize. It's thinner than an atom. And it adheres, it's used for all kinds of crazy things like insane atom splitting, really smart stuff. But it also is being used in car washes, and it's like a wax coating, and it can adhere to all the surfaces of your cars in a way that like wax has never been able to before. And it's incredibly thin, but also incredibly strong. So it protects and repels water. And it's really, it's like really interesting, cool stuff. So that is the top wash. You can visit Camel Express Car Wash and get a free, the best wash by texting code MOMCULT to 30400, and you can try that new product, graphene, today.
We talked a little bit about the chalking your kids through the before and mm-hmm. the during, and then the after is like, oh, this is forever going to be present in our lives. And I don't even know, I don't have a specific question, but just wanting to shift it to like as a mom, as a mom for this past, like the past, you know, three
right.
years.
I mean, even as like his funeral was approaching, I was like, oh, I need to explain what's happening next. As an adult, I want to know what's happening next so I can control my anxiety and everything else. So we talked a lot about like, okay, this is what the next week is going to entail. It's hard doing everything by myself. I'm learning to ask for help and not white knuckle
through. It's about time.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like the universe sometimes forces you to do what you don't want to do. I have a good support system. My mom moved here. She lives around the corner from me. About the time that Brent got sick, we were like, we want you to move here, but let's move here faster. So she moved here. My in-laws live about 40 minutes away, and they're incredible. Their love language is acts of service, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Which is exactly what you need.
Yeah, and Stella and Vivian are their only grandkids. So their focus is on them. Brent's younger brother lives in town. So, you know, we still stay connected, but you know, it's hard to do it alone. There's no break. So I try to think about self-care. Sometimes my only self-care is my therapist, who I absolutely adore. And I mean, I am so great. Like every now and then I'm like, I'm really grateful for you. Thank you, Holly. You're amazing.
We have the same therapist. I think.
What?
Holly Cook?
Yes! Praise
the one
hands.
Thing.
What?
Do
this
you
is weird.
Listen?
I'm just saying, it's weird.
Oh my God, how have we never run into each other in the waiting room? I'm there every week.
Much.
I love her so much, and let me tell you, the universe put her in my life. It was before Brent. It was like the month before Brent got sick, and I went on a girls' trip. Mm-hmm. And my friend Jenny, we were at her condo down in Florida, and we're all by ourselves. And I was like, I think I need a therapist, just out of the blue. And she's like, I have a great one, because she lost her brother and her dad while she was pregnant with her child. And so she did EMDR and all this to really help herself get over that. And and that's how I met Holly. And I mean, the fact that we, and you know, we, yes, we talk, but it's more than that. She does healing touch. We do breath work. Are you getting her emails for her breathwork session every? Because I'm there.
Oh, you go?
Oh, yeah. I'm going next weekend.
I want Eric to come, and I haven't. Yeah.
It's great. And yes, of course, there's other people in the room, but the music is so loud, and you got your eye mask on, and you're cozy. Yeah. You just don't even.
I'd love to go sometime.
Like, stand on the firm, mostly 90% firm ground every day because Holly's in my life. I know. I mean, listen.
It's like a weird cry. Like, yeah. I'm like, just because she's so amazing. I know. I just am happy that you have that person.
I love it. I love her so much. She's just, I mean, when Brent was dying, I texted her that day. And the day that Brent died, I didn't know that was going to be it, but we thought, oh, it's going to be maybe tomorrow or whatever. And I said, hey, I really hate to cancel on you, but can I cancel my session tomorrow because Brent's really close? And she's like, absolutely, no big deal. Literally, Brent passed, I don't know, like 2 hours later, and I texted her maybe an hour after that. I was like, actually, Holly, do you mind if I come in tomorrow? And she was like, absolutely. And she brought me flowers, and we got down there on the floor and did breath work. And I always get some sort of message that, like, tries to heal my soul every time. And it was just beautiful that I could go and be with her in that moment, because it's such a weird... And he also died on Holy Week, so I didn't discover until the anniversary, which was just a week ago, that although Holy Week will change every year, it will always make me think of Brent, because Holy Week is so structured, and he died on a Thursday, and then Good Friday's the next day, and Easter, and like, there's so much structure to that week.
Right.
And also, like, life and death and rebirth, and
wild.
We never really go away. We're here, you know, just, and Holly, it is so supportive and loving of all of my, because I mean, Brent is here. Like, he is around, and he is always sending signs. They're never enough. Like, if he sends me something, I'm like, do it again. Do it, you know,
prove it.
Prove it. Prove that one that you just did to prove it, right? There's a great book called Signs that I love to read. It was full of things to ask your loved ones who have passed to, like, show that you're still there, right? So, Holly.
I've never talked to somebody who also goes to her, I don't think.
Oh my God, I love her. Yeah. I mean, that is the ultimate self-care, is, and I just didn't realize until all of this how, I mean, it sounds so dumb, how important resetting my nervous system is. Mm-hmm. It just, I mean, my cousin is a nurse practitioner at an OBGYN, and I told her literally a couple weeks ago, I'm like, okay, I have an idea that you need to talk to new moms about, because I wish that someone had told me that probably the most important thing a mom can do is to regulate her nervous system. I didn't know that when I had little tiny babies, but the best gift that I can do for my children is for me to get down on the ground and breathe and release myself from all this stress and try to just not pass it on to them. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. And I don't get it right all the time.
I'm taking the first level of the healing touch, like, thing, because I want to understand what the hell is happening. Yes. I've talked about it like 10 times on here. Like, what is happening? It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The energy you feel is really incredible. The messages I get are incredible. Sometimes I have, like, visions of Brent or of loved ones, I mean, past, that just pop up in my head when I'm in that
state.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother passed away when he was 32, and we were really close, I get that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not that it's the same. Sorry.
No. Listen, people would do that to me all the time. They'd be like, oh, I mean, it's just my dad that died. I'm like, I am not in the business of comparing whose grief is worse than the other, right?
Our grief.
Like, I've learned so many things from losing someone so important and so early, like, I know what I don't like to hear. I know what I do like to hear. I know what's helpful. What's
not
helpful.
What don't you like to hear?
I don't like to hear. And this is just me, not everyone. I don't like to hear, what a nightmare. What an absolute nightmare. I'm like, yeah, I know. I wake up in it every day. Or like, just like, and when they're like, oh, I can't imagine. Or like those kind of things. Like I really like, ugh, it kind of irks me. Mm-hmm. And the worst of all, and all my friends when they listen to this are going to laugh. My sweet friend from college, Amy, calls them head tilters. And it's the people that turn their head to the side and they look really pitiful. And they go, oh my God, how are you?
Yeah.
And I immediately have the opposite response. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I am great. I am amazing. Because so I just, I mean, Holly's like, no, turn it around. Where does that come from? That comes from compassion. I'm like, I know, but also like, I have a hard time with vulnerability and just like really saying how I feel all the time. And that sort of pity that comes at me is like, oh, I can't. Mm-hmm. What I do love to hear is just stuff about Brent. Like, oh my God, I thought about him the other day. Like, bring him up. I mean, he's always in the back of my mind or the front of my mind, always. So just saying like, oh my God, Brent was in my dream last night. Or I just thought of a funny story about Brent. Or what an incredible guy. Or those kinds of things are like, that's the, mm-hmm. I'm like, I know. Yes. And then helpful things, because, you know, I was really tethered to home for months when Brent was sick. I literally called our mutual work on the worst week, the Monday before Christmas. That is like prime time Super Bowl for the wine business. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can't leave Brent anymore. Can I like work from home or what can I do? And they, by the end of the day, they were like, we're going to take care of your accounts and you're going to take care of Brent. Mm-hmm. And you're going to take as much time as you need to take care of your family. And they supported me through months. I was gone for months. And I'll just never forget that kindness. That, I mean, it's something that someone should do, but it doesn't happen all the time. And they're really, really, really supportive. And Brent worked there for 20 years too. But when I was tethered to home, I think the most, you know, meal train. Yeah. I mean, I want a meal train for the rest of my life. Right.
That's Blue Apron is mine.
Did they adhere to did you do the like microbiotic stuff?
Yeah. A lot of the time I would do a list like, here's some ideas. These are the foods to avoid. These are the foods we like. Or sometimes I go, if you can't do that, if that's too much, like I'm not going to put that on somebody. Gift card, feed my kids because they don't eat right. That way. Feed the other people, the revolving door of people in the house. Feed them. And then I'll make, you know, mm-hmm. girl dinner or mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. you know. That and, you know, a lot of moms would, in the beginning of the day, would say, hey, I'm going to Target, Publix, whatever, later on this afternoon. Send me a list and I'll go get it for you. And Instacart, two times I had gifted a year subscription to Instacart. And that was really good helpful idea. Because then I could have the control to like mm-hmm. order whatever I wanted, or people would send me Instacart gift cards. That was a big mm-hmm. one too. And you've just got a lot of people coming in and out. And you forget things. Those were really helpful things. Yeah. And taking the girls out.
Yeah.
Taking my children. Hey, can I take them to Target?
Mm-hmm.
Get them out of the house. Can I take them to the zoo? Can do something more fun than this absolutely depressing ass house that we live in. I mean, you know, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's quiet. It's sad. It's all of those things.
I was going to ask how it feels being... And that you're still in the same house.
I mean, some people, I think, don't want to live. I surprisingly don't want to ever let go of that house.
Yeah,
I love it. And it's weird. Like, he died in my bedroom, but I don't get weirded out by that at all. No. I, you know, when he was sort of in the last days. It's funny, they say hearing is like the last thing to go. And so I would sort of tell the girls, you know, we're at the point where it's just a couple days. Like, it's not, and it wasn't like an anxiety sort of thing. It's just sort of, they took it like information. Mm-hmm. This is what's happening. See how he's just in the bed. He's not going to get up anymore. But one time, maybe it was like 2 days before he died, they came in. I said, girls, tell daddy you're home from school. And they're like, hi, dad, we're home from school. And he, eyes closed, like not of this world, just raised his hand up and waved. And they looked at me with these huge eyes. I was like, see, I told you, he can hear you. And so I have these great videos. Vivian had just learned to read. And she like got her books and got right by his bed and was reading. And you could tell, like, he was unresponsive at that point, but like he was like fidgeting with his hands and stuff. Like, you could tell he was like listening. Yeah. I know. Also, I mean, I had a baby monitor on him, so I didn't have to keep opening the door. And like a couple days before he died, I didn't want to say anything to anybody because I was like, I don't know. People are going to think that I'm crazy. But no matter what time of day, how the light in the room was, there was this iridescent bubble like right over his head.
Yeah.
And it was there every time. And then finally my mother-in-law was like, do you see what's happening on the baby monitor? I was like, I'm not. Like,
is that just me that sees it?
It's just me. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause I think you really like that transition. Your soul is not really.
I've heard that.
Yeah. I really think in the end, it was just his body running that last run that your body has to do. And I looked back on it. When I was in it and he was dying, I was really kind of upset because I was like, the doctor said it was going to be peaceful and quiet and he would just slip away or whatever. And it was not like that. But I look back and I know Brent would just not go out that way. He's too big to go out that way. And we had like so many people over that day, that his best friend Hillary and me and his brother, like we would, earlier that day, we were just talking over him. Like, he was in the room for our conversation. I just kept feeling like he's really enjoying like us just talking about memories or fun things from him in college or whatever. And I kept worrying that when he died, that he would, that I wouldn't be there. Right.
Mm-hmm. I haven't stopped crying.
I worried that I would miss it. I worried that like, I would have to go do something for the girls and then I would come back and he'd be gone. And that was, I should have known better. Like, I look back and I should have known better that when he died, it was me, his mom, his dad, his best friend, Hillary, his brother. My mom and Neil's girlfriend were like right on the other side of the room. The girls were upstairs. His breathing was really labored. Your heart rate goes up. Your oxygen goes down. Your, you know, extremities look different. The blood pulls into the center of the body. So you start to see the nails are a different color. So you can see all the signs. Yeah. And all day long, this really poignant music was playing. I just was doing like Apple Music, Brent's stuff, pulling from his account.
A dying playlist.
Dying playlist, yeah. And I just kept thinking like, oh God, this is what a beautiful song. This is really, you know. And like, I didn't know it was minutes to go, but Sweet Caroline came on, the, you know, Neil Diamond song. And I just kept thinking like, I can't have Brent die to da, 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 right? And so and no one else was paying attention except I asked his brother, because he was on the other side of the bed. I said, will you go over there pause the music? And he was like, yeah. And he kind of looked at me and understood. Like, we're the only two that kind of had this. And he paused it. And literally, I would say within a minute, he passed. Like, and he passed like this crescendo of, he took this enormous. And I knew it. I knew from the color on his face. I just knew it. I said, he's going right now. Just knew it. And he took this huge breath, the biggest breath he'd taken in days. And that was it. I mean, and he was gone. And I just kept thinking about Sweet Caroline. And then, like, I came across a video and I forgot that it was like one of his favorite karaoke. He'd do Suspicious Minds and Sweet Caroline because it always gets the crowd going. Because right. That's a Brent thing yeah. to do. And literally, I mean, you can cut this if you want. Like, I don't know, a week later, not very long later, Trevor Noah was at the Ryman. And Neil and Jane had like front row seats, like the folding chairs front row. Uh-huh. So he's right there. And he called me afterwards and he said, at the very end, Trevor Noah, I'm going to not get this exactly right, but he said, Trevor Noah was talking about how like white guys are like the worst audience members. Like they just don't laugh as much as women and people of color, like just not. And, uh-huh. but he pointed at Neil and said, but I'll bet if I was playing Sweet Caroline, you'd be going, da, da, da. And Neil was like, I think that was my brother. Like, I think my brother just sent me
a message
to Trevor Noah. It was so weird.
Does Trevor yeah. Noah know that he's a medium?
I know. He's a medium. Vessel. I know. Listen, I'm, yeah. He comes through all the time. All the time. Yeah.
Have the girls had any experiences with that?
Yeah. When I was explaining, because in the beginning, I just get so like, okay, I'm ready for you to visit me. Okay, come on. I'm very impatient. But it was, you know, we waited, I think, 2 weeks to have a service so everybody could come in town. And I was explaining to the girls, listen, you know, this is what's going to happen. And then it kind of led to, you know, dad could sometimes show up in your dreams. And if that happens, ooh, I want to know about mm-hmm. it. Let me know if dad shows up. And Stella just looks at me so matter-of-factly and goes, dad's been in my dream every night since he died. And then Vivi popped her head up and went, yeah, me too. Like last night he was dropping me off at like my old school. And like we were doing like this whole memory. And I was like, that's where you've been.
Yeah, he's busy.
He's busy. Yeah, he is busy. He's busy. Like, and everyone that left, that had to fly somewhere, that came to his memorial, every single person had some sort of meaningful experience at the airport. Either they ran into an old friend they hadn't seen in forever, or they sat at the bar and met this person that just like connected them or gave them a message. It was really like, I kept getting these phone calls from people going, I swear to God, I think Brent was like orchestrating my, and that is how he was in real life. He was always like connecting people. And if you had a problem, he was gonna, you know, solve it.
I used to, when my brother passed, I would be like, I want to ask him something and then think, well, you need to be, he had three kids and you just need to be with your kids. Like I get, you yeah. get that. But somebody said, I couldn't have had the conversation that you're doing. You've done Holly. So well. I can't even Well, I've been with Holly for like 8 years. I should be doing better. But anyway, then I just heard recently somebody say that the energies all can be everywhere at once. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
he's all over the place. He just did all that. Yeah.
Are you guys hungry?
Yeah.
I am.
It's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas?
I'm thinking about like some bagels, some schmears, maybe some pasta.
Yeah.
I bet they've got other stuff now that we don't even know about.
Mm-hmm. Fine
and
goods.
I bet it's all really, really good.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Mr. Aaron's Goods.
Yes. Locally owned, family, lovely, all very involved and everything is fresh and good and wonderful and incredibly quick to prepare meals that you can pick up in East Nashville. At TKO, is it Monday through Friday now? I'm not going to get their hours right, but you should look them up on Mr. Aaron's Goods. It's MRAARONSGOODS.com. And you can use code MOMCULT for 20% off your order at MrAaron'sGoods.com. And if you live in East Nashville, they'll deliver.
I've seen a couple of mediums. the big one in Nashville I'm seeing on June 5th. And Frank? I am, yes, mm-hmm. I am so very excited. I made the appointment in January when Brent was still alive, knowing that it was going to be like our date, right? I'm hoping
to have you back on.
I know. I'm hoping that, Steph is so excited. I'm hoping that when I get there, he's going to be like, oh my God, Brent, this guy has been bothering me all day.
You're the one.
Yes. Yeah. It just, and every time I have an experience with a medium, most of the time they say that, like, one woman thought he was my son because he looks so young. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's in his 20s. Mm-hmm. And as long as I've known Brent, he had no hair, but he has apparently lots of hair now.
Luscious.
Yeah. I mean, the first one I went to was like, he looks like he's 20 years old. And then like 3 weeks later, his brother calls me and goes, oh my God, I finally had like a visitation dream from Brent. And I was like, tell me all about it. And he goes, he was in your kitchen cooking like he always did, because Tracy, he looked like he was 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, really? And I did not tell him, mm-hmm. you know, what the medium had said.
Like,
and
what did he have hair?
Well, yeah. And he goes, and he had a mullet. And I was like, that would totally be Brent. Like, trying on all the different hairstyles. He'd gone decades without hair. And now he's just going to have like a top knot, a mullet. I mean, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Living the dream.
Living the dream. And that he's always close, but he's always just doing stuff, like just doing things for people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I've asked for oranges one time. I was in church and I was like, oranges, like, you're a Tennessee fan, like, go big orange. Come on. That can't be hard for you. Like, let's do this. And we went to Brick Tops after, because Vivian thinks that's fancy brunch, right? Fancy with a kids menu. Mm-hmm. And we went to the bathroom, and the ladies' room always plays Elvis songs. We're in there for about 10 seconds, and Suspicious Minds comes on, and it makes me laugh because it makes me think of Brent doing his karaoke. And she goes, we wash our hands, we go out the hallway, and we get right where the hallway ends and the dining room begins. And before I could even say it, Vivian goes, smells like oranges right here. And I was like, and it was so strong. And I was like, it does. And I like put her back in the seat and then like went back to the space, like, and it was gone. But I was like, oh, there you go. And I've asked him for white butterflies. I see white butterflies all the time. Cardinals, obviously. Yeah, sometimes like a cardinal will land right as I'm getting the girls out the door for school, and I'll look at it and go, you want to help me with these kids? Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'd love an extra pair of hands.
Hello.
This is not helpful.
These roommates of mine where I'm like, I want to go get some mulch. I don't want to do that. I'm like, why don't we have a choice?
Dude, I know.
Come on. Like, help me out.
I hated running errands with my mom.
I know, absolutely. But listen, what am I going to do? I know. Right? I have great neighbors, and a lot of the time I'll be like, can the girls come over?
Right, just
and
hang so I can run out.
I know, yeah. But man, it's hard to do it all by yourself. I have a trip coming up this summer. It's a trip that I won a year and a half ago. Ooh. And the company has been really nice enough to hold the trip for me until I could take it. Cause I couldn't leave the girls. I'd say like the side effects of not having their dad right now don't seem enormous. The biggest one is that my oldest feels like she needs to just keep one finger on me all the time. Mm-hmm. Where are you going? What are you doing? How long are you going to be gone? Mm-hmm. Nope. I don't want to spend the night anywhere. I want to stay here. I've also gone from the mom with children who absolutely was like, I will never co-sleep with my children. I now look back on that and go, meh, could have maybe cut myself a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. Not been so strict on the rules to follow. Mm-hmm. Now from the moment that Brent was gone, they have slept mm-hmm. in the bed with me. And my stance is eventually they won't.
Right.
Eventually sleeping in your mom's bed's going to be lame.
Yeah.
But for right now, if that makes them feel safe, mm-hmm. then great. I mean, they're getting a little bit too big for all of us. Mm-hmm. It's a sleigh bed, so Vivian sleeps at the bottom like a dog. But now she's getting like so long that like, and of course, Stella doesn't care. She's going to kick her sister in the head, you know, but I'm like making myself as small as possible to like let them be in there. But I couldn't possibly leave last summer, obviously. So this one, I'm going to do it. I'm going to plan out a lot of activities, a lot of play dates, and spend the nights with close friends and things like that. But I also deserve, like, yeah. And I mean, Brent would want me to be on that trip. Like, sure.
What is the trip?
Portugal. Mm. Yeah, I know. I won a contest 2 years in a row in the whole nation to sell this one wine. I had every middle-aged woman in Nashville drinking Nordico. I mean, seriously. And I beat the second place person both years by 100 cases.
Wow.
Just annihilated. Wow. Slightly competitive. But I was like, I can do this. I can do this. And I mean, I've had so many women like really invested. Like every month the numbers would come out and they would want to know, where are you in this contest? And then the year that I was taking care of Brent, that March, I have a friend who lives in Reno, Nevada, but she does what I do. And also that import company is in her portfolio. And so she's in Reno having like a sales meeting, and the guy comes in and says, this year for the contest, we've changed the rules so that lady in Nashville will stop winning. My friend like raised her hand and was like, her name is Tracy Hilton.
And don't you dare take this away from her.
I mean, I know. And so she of course messaged me, and I was like, I'm kind of honored that like I broke their game. Yeah, like I don't know of any other sales rep who's broken a contest before, but I'm going to get to go. I'm taking my best friend since I was 5, Lindsay. She deserves it for being friends with me for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom and her husband's a pilot, and she does a lot of stuff alone too. So I think we're just going to get there and just sort of like walk around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
what a luxury.
Drink.
Yeah.
In the daytime. Sure. Eat whatever. Yeah. I know. It's going to be lovely. I can't wait.
When do you go?
June. I'm clinging to it. Like when things are bad, when I'm overwhelmed,
June is coming.
This is it. I've got this thing coming. And that might be the greatest part of the gift or the trip is that like I have something to really focus on. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Look forward to.
Yeah. Cause I don't look too, I've told Holly this, I don't look too far into the future. If I look too far into the future, I mean, spin out city, right? I mean, that's like all the stuff that Brent's not going to be a part of, right? Mm-hmm. So I just try to like keep it in the moment. We can look a little into the future, but we don't look 20, 10, whatever. No thanks. Also, he died on the 6th of April, and his birthday is the 7th, which seemed kind of odd at first, but I'm a little grateful for, because
get to do it all at once.
Yeah. The 6th is sad, but the 7th we celebrate his birthday and his life, and we got a cake and had his family over, and the girls wanted to get a balloon, and we went to Publix, and Vivian kept telling everyone, I got a balloon for my dad's birthday. And I just kept like waiting for someone for her to be like, he's dead. You know, I'm like, so, and I would go, but it never did. She has this really beautiful way of always like including Brent, like going, but dad's here too. Like she just knows it, which is amazing. Yeah. I'm always like, send me a sign. Yeah.
Did Stella do any therapy, or was she kind of young enough?
The girls. Yeah. I have a therapist for the girls. We took a little bit of a break because I think I went too hardcore. I love going every week. They are like, what is this? Right? Yeah. It's also 50 minutes for one and 50 minutes for the other together. So it's 2 hours of like, can I have a snack? Uh-huh. How much longer is my sister going to be in there? Like, I don't want to do this. Uh-huh. I just want to play with my friends. So we're going to like sprinkle therapy in. Stella is a little bit more hesitant to do it. Vivi loves it and wants to talk. But Stella's like, she's just going to talk about dad and make me sad. Right. And I was like, well, that's true.
And you're saying you don't want to be,
you know,
sad?
The only way over it is through it there, Stella. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, in the beginning, people would be like, doesn't she need to be on medication or whatever? And like Holly would look at me and go, you're not depressed. You're in grief. Like, yeah. You're in grief and you're going through it and you're feeling it.
Yeah,
and
grief needs to be needs to be felt to a certain extent.
Also, funny enough, the side effects of grief are almost identical to the side effects of perimenopause.
Mm. Fascinating.
So I have no idea.
You don't know what's going on.
If, I mean, it's like weight fluctuation, underlying rage, sleeplessness. I told my best friend, I was like, it's like a Maybelline commercial. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's perimenopause. Like, yeah. I don't know.
I saw something that was like a, I actually have it on my phone. I don't know if this will be interesting, so cut this if it isn't. But it was like a listing off things that were caused by hormones. And I was like, why would they say that? Feeling out of control or overwhelmed. Hmm. And it's like all of the other things are like,
you know, is perimenopause libido. You're looking at?
Or no, grief? Just
like,
hormones.
Sorry. Yeah. Things that could be caused by like endocrine hormones. And it was like normal things like vaginal dryness, hot flashes, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But then feeling out of control or overwhelmed being one of like 10 things. And I was like, well, that could be like a lot of things.
So
actually.
Many
so
things.
Why are so we... many things.
So many things. Yeah. I mean, and I felt like all different. I mean, I felt obviously sad, but yeah, like my anxiety comes from stress. So when I feel overwhelmed, you know, it's learning how to like tap out. And be like, I gotta get myself out of this room right now, or I'm just gonna. And then also, I mean, I know you guys have talked about this on the podcast a lot, but apologizing to your kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, one, did that ever happen to me when I was a kid? Never, never. But I do when I lose my shit or whatever, I'm triggered. I will come back and I apologize. And the really beautiful thing about it is I'm always met with so much compassion from them. It's not like, yeah, you better apologize. I mean, it's always like, Mom, no, you're doing a great job. This is, or like, they'll be like, this is hard. Mm-hmm. Like, just so sweet. And so, and I'm like, man, our parents are really missing out on an opportunity to have a real one-on-one with us. Just being like, sorry. Like, just having that compassion from them is just so sweet and nice. And I'm like, I'm going to try to do better next time. Like,
well, maybe they're born like that a little bit. That comes from y'all. So
yeah. I mean, when they're definitely their ability to remain awake in a 24-hour period definitely came from Brent and I. I mean, I surprised Stella with Taylor Swift tickets. Oh, it was on the rainy night. So, of course, in the moment, all I was thinking was, why does everything in my life have to be hard? Everyone else got a sunny Taylor Swift experience. Mm-hmm. Now I look back on it and I'm like, okay, it was really special. Amazing and special. Someone was saying, I mean, do you think Stella's going to stay awake for the whole thing? I was like, she's Tracy and Brent Hilton's kid. And literally, it was delayed, and she didn't quit singing until 2 a.m. I mean, this child went to bed at 3 and was awake the whole time.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Stamina.
Hmm.
Party animals.
Penny has started if I've gotten upset about something, and even if it's like not directed at her, but she'll see me upset about something, and then, you know, a little bit later, if I'm acting fine and whatever, she'll go, Mom, you're not frustrated anymore.
Oh, it's a miracle. Yeah. Oh my God. So cute.
Yeah. Like I used to say that. Yeah. Based, or like seeming surprised when I was happy for a little bit. I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's frustrating because if all the responsibility is on me to get all the stuff done, I always feel like such a bummer. Because I'm like, where's the time for us to have fun? There's so many like to-dos in my day. Where's the time for us to enjoy each other and chill out and not have to be like, I mean, it's like teacups this week. So it's like, gotta go to bed and eat your, just feel like the heavy all the time.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, Mom.
It's 5 and 8. That's 5 and 9.
So seven at the end of April. Got it. Yep, I know. And I know that this is like the prime time of the sweetness before,
yeah, the eye rolls begin, but...
You don't have any eye rolls yet?
I mean, I do. Like, if I say something, it will be wrong. But I feel like she still, like, ultimately loves me and thinks that I'm a semi-cool, decent human being that has, like, some good ideas.
Some.
Yeah.
Maybe,
but,
maybe a couple.
Yeah, but she's starting to get, like, you know, a little particular about what she wears, getting a sense of fashion and things like that, and yeah.
Well, you are just a ball of light and energy, and it feels the exact opposite of the grieving widow.
Oh, I know. Listen, grief is a son of a bitch because you'll, like, the day of, like, if it's Father's Day or the day he dies, it's like, huh, I got through it. For me, it's like the day after,
it
like
hits
the
you
week
later.
After. Yeah, it's not in the big moments. It's like these little, it's these quiet moments that just hit you. And yeah.
Well, you're doing an incredible job.
Well, thank you.
Did you get, we've got like a couple minutes. I don't know if we want to.
Pop culture corner. If y'all don't do pop culture corner, I'm going to feel so, I'm coming back then.
All right,
and
right.
I don't even know if you liked my ideas.
Yes, I do. Well,
I mean, I definitely watched The Bear. I'm trying to remember what else was on there.
Downton Abbey.
Not Downton Abbey, Bridgerton.
Bridgerton.
Oh, right.
Bridgerton, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I only watched the first season.
I think The Bear and you love Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's romance just in general.
It's
I just want to hear you talk about that.
This is what you know what?
You know what you deserve.
You pick that. You deserve to pick it.
Okay.
You pick.
Well, but you got like 4 minutes.
Okay.
I'm into all of these things now.
I know. Well, let's start with The Bear first.
I thought Bridgerton was very hot.
If you think that you don't, if you think that you're never going to find out anything new about your loved one who has passed, you're wrong. Because I watched the, first of all, I watched The Bear, and it took me a while to watch it because Brent would watch it and it would give him anxiety, like from working in a kitchen
and all that.
But I was like, I'm going to watch it. And I did, and I loved it. But the second season, there's an episode, the Fishes episode, I think is so beautiful because whoever wrote it definitely has at least one narcissist in their or borderline personality in their life.
Yes.
And I have a few. And I just thought how beautifully written it was that they understand that all the cast of characters is there. They understand that that person who is always going to ruin a social situation is going to ruin it. And yet we're all here and we're doing it. And I just think that's, it was like so beautiful and so understood on how to live with those kind of people. But the episode where she goes to all the different restaurants in Chicago, it's early in season two, and she is doing like research for their new restaurant. But she goes, spends a lot of time at this restaurant called Avec. And I'm so glad that it's still there. It's a beautiful restaurant. And when Brent and I were first dating and we were still a secret, we went to Chicago so we could like be a couple and hide from everyone in Nashville and like hold hands and stuff. And one of the dinners we went to, because we planned every meal out, was Avec. And it's like these really nice, like solid oak tables. And I can't remember what we drank, but I remember this one part where there was this bolognese with these handmade noodles and it was really delicious. And we're eating it. And halfway through he says, oh, I forgot the, there's this word on the description and I forgot what it meant, but now I remember. And I was like, oh, what was the word? And he said, it's offal or awful, O-F-F-A-L. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he says, it's like head, shoulders, knees, and toes. It's like the organs and the byproduct and the not traditionally consumed parts of the animal. Okay. And I went, at the time, I was like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It was delicious. But sitting on that couch by myself watching The Bear, I went, there's no doubt in my mind that Brent forgot what that word meant. He was just afraid that if you pointed it out, that I would be like, oh, I don't want to eat that. That sounds bleh. So he tricked me into eating it. And I just laughed on the couch. I was like, son of a bitch. How did I ever think that he wouldn't know what that word is? He knew.
He knew what that word was. And I just like laughed and it made me think of him. And I just like, I can't wait for season three because yeah.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah. I love it.
And then my mom had COVID back when the first Bridgerton came out and she was trapped in, like I had COVID and then she came to visit and I was done, but she picked it up somewhere, got COVID. So I was like, well, I'm going to take care of you. And I was like, oh, there's this new show on Netflix. I think it's like Downton Abbey. We should just watch it. Like it's, you know, Regency style, whatever. And it's, I mean, season one was so explicit, like so cringing. But you're in it. So you kind of have to keep watching it. No one's going to say like, this is inappropriate for the two of us to watch together. Yeah. Like, why don't you go your way
and watch Netflix and I'll go.
No, we kept going. So I spent the whole time staring at my phone, scrolling while they're like on the stairs or in the library or, I mean, horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. That's amazing. Season three is coming out. So maybe I'll watch that with my mom too. Because now she lives here.
Near you, not with you.
No, yeah. We're just around the corner.
Tracy, thank you so much for being here. So much. Yeah. I definitely haven't, that's the most I've cried in a recording session of this podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
It's good to have goals.
You can follow Tracy on Instagram at
Ms. Millesime. It's MS.MILLESIME. Millesime is French for vintage. Oh. It's my favorite French word.
Your stories, you're a fun person to follow. All of your reposts make me laugh.
Listen, I started it to just post wines I like and where to buy them in town. I mean, I'm gonna talk about Brent and that stuff's gonna be sad. But I also love to curate Insta stories and boy, it really depends on where the algorithm goes. Like sometimes it's real grief centric and like a mom will be like, I just want, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. It's the algorithm. It's the algorithm. Yeah. I mean, I'm sad, but like not extra sad. This is just, or it's going to be like, you know, mom stuff, our kids are jerks, you know, kind of thing. Kids don't care. Or rage. Yeah, or politics, whatever, but I try to mix it up and make it spicy.
Well, it's perfect, and you should follow and enjoy.
You're perfect. I love you guys. I love your podcast.
I love you.
I love listening to it.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.